show this morning. We have a sports show that comes on a little earlier your time. Let's see, it's 9 o'clock here, 8 o'clock a.m. Your time, and very early on the West Coast, mm-hmm. 6 a.m. on the West Coast, but it's absolutely magnificent.
So you're trying to get people on the West Coast to wake up at about 6 o'clock in the morning and listen to you talk about sports?
Sounds about right.
Okay, yeah. All right. I don't know about them, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, unless I have to go to work, don't bother me. It can be an earthquake, it can be a flood. Unless I am in mortal danger, don't
understand.
Don't bother me.
I do understand, my friend.
But everybody out there in Radio Land, please do set your alarm clocks for 5 a.m. so you can be up at 6. You know, you can snooze about an hour. And tune in to the Studio W Buzz Sports Page.
Yes. Thank you for that ad.
Every Saturday morning. Just think of it as Saturday morning cartoons. Those in my generation are probably familiar with the Saturday morning cartoon concept. These kids, they don't understand. They have cartoons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are so spoiled. I oh my gosh. I mean, I know y'all said that about my generation, but no. These children have no clue. This is how much of a clue they don't have. They don't know what a busy signal is. They don't know what a dial tone is. And they certainly don't know what the internet sounds like. My kids were like, what's wrong with the phone? I'm like, that's a busy signal. What's wrong? You're so used to somebody having voicemail or whatever that you have no clue what even something as simple as a busy signal is. So anyway, that's just me on my high horse. William, how are you dealing with the cold? I know it's been a year since you've been out of sunny California.
Yes, well, I told you, when it drops down below 40, I put on 3 hoodies.
Oh my, well, this week you should have, well, if it's anything like it's been here, you should have, you know, kind of been so layered that you couldn't walk.
I could walk, but I was layered. You can believe that. Absolutely. No question about it. Nope, not playing around. I'm used to Southern California, so Virginia just, oh boy, that's a bit shocking. Let's put it that way.
So William is spoiled too. in other words. Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm going to step aside, Ann.
Yes, I'm about to boot you off, so I'm so glad you can feel it.
Yeah.
Anyway, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Ann Wooten Taylor. I'm the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, and this is the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. We teach you the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course. We'll probably have another one around August, so stay tuned for that. But we also love to have guests on our show who broaden our perspectives about other areas. And today we are going to have with us Miss Gina Lusardi. She is one of the co-authors in a project that I was privileged to work on called the Love Manifesto Anthology. And we're going to be talking about her part of the book in just a moment. And I'm so sorry, guys, that you're having technical difficulties. For some reason on StreamYard, I can't even see my face. So for those of you watching on StreamYard, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening. And then I know that some of you may be experiencing me breaking up too. So hopefully the technical difficulties will be resolved soon. Just stay with us. Stick it out. We've got a great show lined up for you. As a matter of fact, it is time for your weekly motivation. As you know, our motivations are designed to encourage you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey. If not, we want to inspire you to get up and try again. And if you still haven't been able to find a reason to get motivated to get healthy and fit in 2023, we want to motivate you through Jesus Christ to take charge of your health and fitness. So today's motivation is entitled, When the Food Party is Over. It's 2023. The holiday festivities are over because, what, we're 28 days into the new year. Resolutions have been made, and unfortunately, some have also been broken. While I hope you enjoyed the holiday break, hopefully you've realized that Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's celebrations are over and gone back to eating in accordance with your health and fitness plan. If you're not on a diet plan or weren't on a diet plan before the holidays, please don't wait to start eating healthier. Your body and your family need for you to make a permanent change today. And your God commands you to eat and drink for his glory right now, not tomorrow. I know not eating holiday leftovers is hard, and permanently changing your unhealthy habits is even more difficult. 1 year, for example, my oldest son was literally in tears when he was no longer allowed to eat the food permitted during Thanksgiving dinner. But he has to learn now that although food is part of the holiday celebration, the unhealthy food should not be eaten when the celebration ends. Unfortunately, most people don't learn this when they're young, and they use the fact that Christmas is right around the corner to continue to indulge in unhealthy foods and beverages throughout the entire holiday season. Some people don't even stop until the new year begins. And even then, it's really only a brief pause made as a result of a half-hearted resolution they already know they don't intend to fully commit to. It's time to stop making Thanksgiving last until the new year begins, only to resume unhealthy eating habits a week after making a new year's resolution. In the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries Health and Fitness course, we not only teach you the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God, but we also provide practical advice and a biblically based plan of action to lead you out of the wilderness of obesity and eating disorders in order to usher you into the promised land of healthy and fit for life. So if you're ready to finally leave the food party and regain control of your health, your fitness, and your weight, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ, and follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. Tune into our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, the DFW Den radio station, Studio W Buzz, and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock for our interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, don't forget to make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody, that was your motivation for today. I hope and pray it encouraged you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspired you to get up and try again if you've been having some issues along the way. And if you haven't been able to find a reason to get motivated, we hope and pray it encourages you and motivates you to get healthy and fit today through Christ. All right? All right, folks. It's time for us to introduce our special guest to you. She is one of the authors who worked on a project with me recently. We were all invited by Dr. LaTangela Crossfield to be a part of a book anthology entitled The Love Manifesto. And Gina Lusardi is one of the co-authors in that book. She's a survivor who lived the first 27 years of her life in one toxic relationship or another, but she found her strength to break free with the helping hand of God. Gina knows for a fact that God himself reached into hell and pulled her out of the darkness. Amen. In 2016, she answered God's calling to be the voice of the silenced and helped to empower women to find their voice and live the life they have always dreamed about. As a result of her calling, Ms. Lusardi is now a certified women's empowerment coach who brings palpable results to women's lives. God is now guiding Gina to turn her mess into a message by empowering women to take back their lives. Gina is a published author of 3 books, an international speaker, and she believes that being, giving, and living extra is the answer. Oh, I love it. I love it. Welcome to the show, Gina. How are you today? Can you hear me? Gina? Hello? Hello?
Yes. Yeah, you have to live extra. You have to live extra.
Okay. I can hear you fine. I was thinking for a minute that maybe you guys lost me completely. I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. I can. Thank you.
Awesome. 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 So tell us a little bit about you. You've given us some nuggets that I'd love for people to find out more about when we have a guest on, because I think learning about a heart of a person makes it a lot easier to understand why they're the expert in what we're going to talk about today. So when you talk about toxic relationships and you being a part of that, what exactly do you mean? Gina, are you there? Can you hear? Did you hear the question? Gina, can you hear me?
I think she's having some technical difficulties, huh. And her mic is muted.
Guys, if you can hear me, apparently we are experiencing some technical difficulties. So
yes, it seems like she's having some technical difficulties.
Okay, so you can hear me all right?
I can hear you.
Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to get Gina back on the line, but until we're able to hear from her, I'll just tell you guys a little bit about, okay, Gina says she's hearing me talking slowly. So apparently is it coming through clearly for you, William?
Well, you are fading in and out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if there is a technical thing, but you are talking so slow. It's like I hear like every other word of what you're saying.
Well, folks, William's going to play some music and we're going to figure this out. So stay with us. Okay. We'll be back in just a moment.
Why don't both of you log in and log out and log back in? Okay.
Very good.
All right. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Studio W, The Buzz. All right, we are back. Yes, Ann, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, my friend?
Okay, Gina? Okay, I think she's having some technical problems here.
Am I still sounding a bit slow?
No, you're sounding fine now. Okay. I think what we need to do probably is have Gina log out and log back in. Because I don't think she can hear us.
Oh, did she not log out before?
No.
I got one.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it's going to work with your phone, Gina.
Okay. Ann?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound better now. No, you were just fading in and out a little bit. And then I don't know whether she's having some technical problems her end as well, because she was saying that we were speaking slowly. But you sounded okay. You were just, you were speaking on time, but you were just fading in and out. So let's see what happens when she comes back in. Okay.
Okay.
Now, in the meantime, I'm sorry, go on, my friend.
No, Finish your thought.
No, I was just going to talk about tomorrow on the Boomerang Show a little bit. Last week, I think we had, oh, that's right. You weren't with us. It was yours truly, Dr. Demery and Mike Ward. And okay. We were talking about domestic violence. So we're going to, there'll be part two tomorrow on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Gina there. Hello, Gina.
Awesome. Hey, Gina.
Hi. There you go.
Uh-oh. Awesome. Hi, that's awesome. Great.
Okay.
Great.
Let's do this again. All right. Go on.
Thank you, William. We appreciate your patience, everybody out there, while we worked out the kinks that we've been experiencing. Gina, my first question to you was, you know, reading your bio, there was so much there. And I'd love for the audience to get to know a little bit more about you and why you are an expert on the topic that you were writing about, which happens to do with relationships. But you said the first 27 years of your life, you were in one toxic relationship or another until God delivered you. Can you tell us a little bit about, what you mean by toxic relationships?
Sure. So I was born into, a domestic violence. My, parents were in a domestic violence relationship. So I grew up in that. And so that was the first 19 years of my life. So, you know, I seen it from a child's point of view, all the way from being a small child to, you know, you couldn't do anything about it, to how it affected your school and how it affected being a teenager and your ideals of, you know, what a relationship is. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, if this is love, if this is how love is, I don't want a relationship. I don't want to be in love. Mm. But then, you know, hormones kick in and
right.
love mm-hmm. or what you think is love. Mm-hmm. But sadly, because, my background was toxic and that's what I had to draw from. Well, like most girls, I found myself in an abusive marriage. Most girls that are in relationships, they think that you have to have a mom and a dad. Thinking. So I stayed a lot longer than I should have because I thought I was to leave that relationship. And then I got, you know, the gifts, the trips, the, you know, just telling you everything you want. An abusive background. All of that sounded great. I mean, that's what I always wanted to hear. And I didn't know that. I knew fight. I knew physical. So he knew for me. So that took me a little longer to figure out. And ship just about killed me.
Oh, wow.
Because I had totally lost myself in that. I know God himself reached down into hell and pulled me out. Mm-hmm. In my heart of hearts and in my soul that the devil had my hand. Wow. And the only reason why I
It seems like we finally lost Gina. She's been breaking up quite a bit. But we're not getting anything from her at this point. Hopefully we'll be able to reestablish a connection with her, in a moment. Guys, I really do hope, I'm trusting the Lord to, you know, resolve this issue that we're having because, this particular book is is a blessing, and it will be a blessing to all of you. Like I said, I'm a part of the project. And so what we'll be doing here on the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show is interviewing everybody who participated in the anthology. So you're going to get to hear from all of the authors who have participated in the Love Manifesto anthology, including the brainchild behind the entire project, Dr. Angela Crossfield. We're even going to interview her. So we've got Gina back now, so hopefully we'll be able to hear her finish telling us her inspirational story of God delivering her from a cycle of domestic abuse. So go ahead, Gina. Can you hear me, Gina? Can you hear me at all? I can see you now, but.
And it seems like both of you are having some technical problems. You're fading in and out, and I can't hear Gina at all. I don't think she can hear us.
Well, like I was saying, I figured out years later that the reason why God has saved me is because I was supposed to use my story and all that. Mm-hmm. What I've learned, my wisdom, and how I was able to break free from all that. I can.
Awesome. So tell us about your part of the book.
So tell you why I'm part of the book. Okay. So I met Dr. Tanji in 2018. Went to Atlanta with another co-author of the book, Sherry Leopold, and we were interviewed on her Love Manifesto radio show. So that's how I met Dr. Tanji, and she knew my backstory.
Awesome.
And then she asked me to be a part of the book, and I was honored to do that, to help, you know, like I said, you know, be a voice for the silence. Mm-hmm.
So what's your topic? What topic do you write about?
My topic is thriving intimate partner relationships.
Awesome. That is the topic
that I chose.
That is an excellent one. Tell us, you know, your, just in a synopsis about what your belief is when it comes to thriving intimate relationships.
So how do you create, so it says, how do you create a thriving intimate relationship? And that's a good question.
Can't hear you. I can't hear your response.
So I'm going off of the questions you have here, and I'm going to, and intimate relationships. Well, the definition of intimate relationships is an interpersonal relationship that involves emotions of liking or even loving that ultimately, could lead to any kind of sexual activity. So that's an intimate relationship.
You mentioned something about a dating map. What do you mean by a dating map, and why would you even need one of those?
So it says, what is a dating map and why do you need one? Okay, that's a good question. So a dating map is pretty much your roadmap to make. So a dating map is essentially that. It's a roadmap that that you put in place to help make sure that you have a safe, intimate relationship with whoever you get into.
How do you determine if someone is worthy of a date? And well, how do you create a dating map, as a matter of fact?
Well, you know, the dating map is kind of a guideline, a set of rules. So in it, you're going to put, you know, you have to, first off, you need to make sure that going into any relationship that you have unpacked anything from your past and that they have unpacked anything from their past that can trip you up in your relationship. Because there's nothing worse than going into a relationship and making this new partner pay for somebody else's mistakes. So it's very important that you do the work and that, you know, you heal from that and that you, you unpack all that so that you aren't tripping over the elephant in the room, no matter what relationship.
I'm so glad.
You don't find yourself back in the same way you was. So that's the first thing. If you know, if you need to go to counseling, if you need to do the inner work, coaching, whatever you need.
I'm glad you mentioned, you know, not making somebody pay for another person's mistakes, because that is, I think, something that people do on a regular basis. We take the baggage of another relationship into the new.
And then also you're going to, you know, deal breakers. A lot of people don't know what deal breakers are, but anytime you...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break.
Yeah, so many times. No, that's okay. So many times, that's the case. You carry past, issues into new relationships because you haven't really dealt with them. You just wanted to push them down and act like they never happened. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then, you know, you're putting this big pile of like dirty clothes in the middle of your living room that somebody else has been wearing. And then you expect the other person to clean that up for you, to love you enough that that's going to clean all that up. But you can't do that. You have to, you know, take care of the dirty laundry from your past before you get into another relationship. Because if not, then this new partner, you're going to just keep putting that old person's clothes on them. Well, you didn't treat me right. Or why are you saying this to me? Or why are you doing this to me? And it's nothing that they did. It's something that somebody else did, but it's triggering you.
Exactly. Exactly. So how do people, you know, because I know I've done that. And there are a lot of people out there who have done that. So what are, you know, kind of like red flags that you are making that type of mistake? Cause I think a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it.
Right. And that's true. I think a lot of it is if you notice that, like, I can't say like you're overreacting because every situation is different. Right. But if you are seeing a pattern keeps repeating in your relationships or in your life, you know, maybe you need to stop and say, is this something they're actually doing? Or am I interpreting as that, because I'm letting my past and the triggers from my past dictate what's going on in this new relationship?
Exactly.
Like if you get into an argument or if somebody, you know, they say something to you or raise their voice to you, you may automatically just like go into the fight mode. You're like, okay, here we go. We're going to go into this fight mode and, you know, I'm going to attack. And I'm going to, you know, say all these hurtful, nasty, toxic, poisonous things to this person because I'm going to get them before they get me. But really, they wasn't coming from that place. But that's where you went because that's where your mind's been because you're still dealing with the trauma from the past.
Well, and when we're talking about fixing ourselves and fixing, you know, cleaning the dirty laundry, so to speak, you know, is that something that people should put kind of like a time frame on, or, you know, could it be, you know, something that's a lengthy process, and should you even try to have another relationship before you've gone through the process?
You were breaking up, but I think you were wanting to know about if you should put a time frame on the healing. Is that what mm-hmm. you were wanting to know?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. I think it depends on how long you were in that relationship and just how bad that relationship was. Mm. Because there's different levels of toxic. Mm. They could be toxic as words, the emotional part of it. It could be toxic as physical, financial. But the longer you're in it, the more ingrained it becomes into you. And you're so used to living that way that you're programmed.
Wow.
So if you're lucky enough to see it before it gets too far, then you're able to process it and heal from it a little faster than if, you know, like me, I was in it for 28 years and it took me 10 years to basically undo everything, anything and everything that I knew. I'm like, well, that was obviously wrong. Mm-hmm. So I had to go through the counseling. I had to go through self-help. I had to distance myself from the people that, you know, was in my past. And I had to learn to have a backbone when one of those people from my past, because, you know, I lived in an abusive household. So it's kind of hard to get away from all that. But I had to learn to stand up for myself and go, you know, no, I can't be a part of that. I can't let you do that to me. And I'm going to have to put up boundaries. And if you're not going to stop talking or treat me this way, then I have to walk away for my own sanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, my next question is, you know, should you, when you're going through that process of unlearning all the bad things, should you start another relationship or should you wait until you are at a place where, you know, you have healed before you start something new with another person intimately? I don't know if you can hear the question.
Do you what?
Can you hear me now?
What was the question?
I was saying, do you think people should wait until they have completely gone through that process? I know I used to give myself a time frame of a year. I'm like, okay, you need about a year to really get over what just happened before you start anything else. Because rebounding is a thing, and it usually doesn't work. In your particular case, would you recommend that somebody wait until they've completely lived and unlearned all the bad stuff before starting something?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely would recommend that people wait. Because if you don't, then you're going to keep attracting the same kind of person. Mm. Because you haven't necessarily figured out that you are attracting that type of person and you haven't, you know, figured out what you want. What are the characteristics of a relationship that you want? Mm. You know, how do you want this to pan out for you? Because when you become, and I call it a trouser browser, when you're jumping from one relationship to another relationship, or from one bed to the next bed, just to find your comfort and your intimacy, it's just going to end in a disaster because you haven't dealt with stuff. So you have to figure out, okay, you know, this didn't work. What did I like from this relationship? Let's pull that in. What didn't I like from this relationship? So I know that when I see that or I have any inkling of that, that I know this is not who I want and that I could turn around and go the other way. Another thing I think is helpful, talk to their friends, you know, and not so much their close friends, because the close friends are going to be their wingman and going to, you know, lie for them or whatever.
Right.
But find that ex-girlfriend. Find that cousin they did wrong. They'll tell you everything there is to tell them about them.
Wow.
Look how they treat their parents. If they treat their parents bad, they're going to treat you bad, especially their mama.
Mm.
Yeah. Dig up the dirt. You're going to have to dig up the dirt to get the truth.
You know, you mentioned, you know, people drawing in the same pattern. So how do you determine if somebody is worth a date, or if, you know, you're basically dating the same person with a different face, that type of scenario.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So how do you determine, you know, if someone is worthy of a date? Can you hear me at all? Can you see the, I'm going to send you a question since you can't hear me. Hopefully you'll be able to read it.
So how do you determine if someone is worthy of a date, love, and or marriage? And that's a good question. Because not everybody is worth your time. Not everybody is worth a seat at your table. Just because they're cute doesn't mean they should be at your table. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that you, like I said, you got to know the traits and the characteristics of what you want. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you want, then how are you supposed to know how to get it or what it even looks like?
Right.
So that's very important. And I always say interview them. Mm. Interview them. I mean, like, get in their face, interview them, because you know what? This is the most important job in your life, is for somebody to be an intimate partner, somebody to be in your home, somebody to be around your kids. Interview them. There ain't a job out there that ain't going to cause an interview. Call for an interview.
Right, so
ask
right,
them the
right.
questions.
Right, exactly.
And I'm sure they're like, why are you interviewing me? And you can just tell them, you know what? I want you to be a part of my life, but I got to make sure you're the right fit for me. And, you know, you can't be upset when they're interviewing you either. So.
Exactly. Exactly. It works.
And I also say, yes. And if you're where you're living has, where you can access their records, check it out. I mean, see if they have any kind of conviction or arrest for, domestic abuse. Have they had orders of protection against them? I know this don't sound romantic and all that stuff, but it's protection for me, right. for you, so that, you know, you don't get yourself into a situation. Make sure that you, like, really listen to what they're saying to you. It reminds me of Maya Angelou. She would always say, when they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. And I think we have a tendency to put on love goggles and we're like, oh no, he didn't really mean that. Yeah, he did mean that. So just be careful with that. What did love teach me and how does that connect with this topic? Oh, love has taught me so many things. So like I said, as a child of domestic abuse, at the time, it taught me that I didn't want to be in a relationship. I didn't want love because I thought that's what love was. And, you know, it changes over time. We all grow and we all mature. And hopefully we all learn from what we've went through. And then as, you know, a young wife, you know, before the abuse started, it was all rainbows and butterflies and you couldn't get enough of that person and you wanted to be with that person all the time and best thing since sliced bread. Until, you know, you start seeing the pattern again, until you start seeing the cut downs and the little digs that they put in. And then you're like, this is why I didn't want that relationship to start with. But now you're invested. So what are you going to do?
Right.
You got a kid,
exactly.
You know, you get married, whatever. It's never too late to leave. It is never too late to leave. It's hard, but it's not, it's never too late.
Right.
But when you, But when you settle for love out of, you know, what you think is an obligation, then it changes how the dynamics are. Because it's no longer about the emotion of love. It's no longer about the intimacy. It becomes about obligation. You know, we're in this because, you know, I need the money. I don't work. It becomes about, you know, the kids. So in the roundabout way, love has taught me to be stronger. Love has taught me to be more independent. Love has taught me, so many things. And, you know, and there is such a thing as what I call wow love. I mean, that love, when you look at that person, you're like, wow, I can't believe how much I love this person or how this person makes me feel or, you know, how much they love me. So there really is real love out there. And thankfully, I have found that. I am married to an amazing guy who shows me real love, respect, trust, all those things that go with love. So I always say when you find that wild love, that love that's like I said, you look at him and, you know, the big heart eyes that, you know, the emoji heart eyes, that's real. That's a real thing. And make sure that you hold on to that. Make sure that you nurture that. It may not always be easy, but you have to water your own grass for it to be as green as the neighbor's.
Right.
So, you know, they probably have some dead spots over there too.
Exactly. So in what ways, well, I guess I should ask this first. You know, we mentioned dating maps and interviewing people that we are interested in. Do those things kill the romance, or can they in some way enhance it?
You're breaking up. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, you know, you mentioned dating maps and interviewing and none of that sounding romantic. Can those things kill the romance, or can they enhance the romance in a way you didn't expect?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with how you go about it. I mean, you can't come at the person like, here's this interview question. I need you to ask it. I need you to answer these and, you know, be all forceful. I mean, like, when you're sitting on the couch watching TV, just, you know, ask a few questions like, hey, you know, I thought of these questions today and I was really curious about it. And then ask them the questions and then you can, you know, ask them, is there anything that you want to know about me, being this is a new relationship, that, you know, make it kind of nonchalant. Don't bombard them all the time. You know, like, you're going to sit here and I'm going to interrogate you and got your spotlight on them. You know, you can't do that, but you can interject questions along the way to learn more.
Awesome. You also mentioned, you know, their religion, politics, and even parenting shape intimate relationships. How so? How do religion, politics, and parenting shape intimate relationships?
I didn't hear that.
I kind of figured. I wrote the question in the chat just in case you didn't hear me.
Okay, so it says, in what ways, if any, do religion, politics, and/or parenting shape intimate relationships? It's a very good question. And in the world we live in, I think it's imperative that we go through this. So it is. So religion really plays a topic in this because. And when I I originally wrote this. This is when, and I'm not getting political, but when Trump was in office and there was a lot of strong views about the whole thing. So if you need to, if that person has a strong view, and you'll know if they have a strong view of religion, because I mean of politics, because of the fact that they're not going to hide it from you. So if they're very boisterous about that, and that is something that bugs you or rubs you raw, in the dating aspect of it, that's not going to change. That's just a little pebble. That's going to be in your shoe and that you're going to have to walk around with.
Exactly.
Which ain't bad the first 5 minutes, but after 20 years, that pebble can, you know, do some damage to your foot.
Right.
So it's important that you know what their religious beliefs are. And if you can live with them, or if you can, if you're on the same page, then great. But if not, you know, discuss it. Discuss it with them. And, you know, communication is key in any relationship, whether it's a good relationship, a bad relationship, a new relationship, or a 60-year-old relationship. Also, religion. Now, I went on a couple of dates with a guy, and I liked him. But then we were driving around, and he told me that he believed in the Big Bang Theory, where God didn't create the world. That it exploded from a star. Well, that's not religious belief.
Right.
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
So I'm like, do you really believe that? I mean, is that your belief system? He's like, yeah, you know, there's no God.
Wow.
And so I'm like, well, I need you to take me home.
Exactly. Cause this is not going to work.
I am a child of God. I am a Christian. Yeah. I was like, I am.
Amen.
This ain't who I am. And this is not something that I can ignore. This is not something that's ever going to go forward with you and me.
Right.
Because God's my savior.
Right. Amen.
God's the reason I'm here. Amen. Not a rock, not an explosion, not an amoeba. Yeah.
Amen.
So it's like,
amen.
Okay, so you have to take me home. So you have to find out the religion.
Exactly.
So, and until then, I really didn't have that before, but when he said that, I'm like, whoa.
Brakes. Pump the brakes really hard. Exactly. I can imagine, you know, what it's like in that moment, because I've been there, with people who don't have a strong relationship with God. And, you know, when the Bible teaches us about being unequally yoked, you know, and can two walk together unless they agree, I believe, you know, a lot of people like to argue that's not about marriage. Well, it's about not just marriage, but it's about every aspect of your life. Because if you take on a business partner who, you know, is shady, but you want to run a business with integrity, it's not going to go well. You two won't be able to walk together as business partners because you can't agree.
They'll drag you down.
Exactly. So it's not just about, you know, that type of relationship. It's about every type of relationship. You have to be extremely careful when it comes to that. But what about parenting? Because I think, you know, you need to kind of be like-minded too when it comes to parenting your kids.
Yes.
And if you're not, you know, on the same page when it comes to parenting the kids, you got them being pulled in opposite directions. You got people undermining one another.
So with parenting, there are some people who are more corporal punishment, where they think kids should be whipped. They think, you know, like corporal punishment. And other people are more the people who are like, well, honey, you know, you should do this. And I think you're going to need to go sit and time out. And then that's like their punishment. I was kind of somewhere in between. I was if you need your butt whipped, because if it was something that warranted you to have more of a lesson, I guess, then I would whip your butt, not your leg.
Right.
And I wouldn't smack you in the face. You got your butt whipped.
Right.
But at the same time, I was also that parent that if my daughter did something, I would tell her, you need to go to your room because I have to calm down. And you need to think about what you did wrong, because you know the rules. So you need to think about what you did wrong. And then once I calmed down, I would go in there and go, okay, you know, what was it? You know, why do you think that you're in trouble? And then she would tell me, and I would go, yes, that's correct. And what do you think would happen? You know, what would happen if I had not found out? And then she would tell me. And then I would tell her, now, because you broke a rule, you know that you're going to need some kind of punishment to this. So I gave her consequences to breaking the rule, but I also walked her through why was this important that you learn this?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And she's an excellent parent now, you know, because she's seen it. I didn't just like yell at her and call her names and put her down. I made her a part of it.
Right.
So if your partner is the corporal punishment person and you're the, well, I think, you know, well, honey, you should have done that. Go sit in the corner. Well, you're going to have some issues. There's going to be some friction there. So you're going to have to know where you two come from. And you're going to have to sit down and talk about that. You're going to have to say, well, what is your definition of parenting? What is your definition of discipline? What is your definition of, you know, when it comes to schooling? Do you think kids should have to go to school every day? Or are you one of those people that like, oh, they go to school when they want?
Wow.
Can they get a D? What's going to happen if they get a D? Do you expect your kids to get an A? It's like you have to go through all this.
You do. You have to ask those questions. Unfortunately, we only have a few minutes left. So I think a lot of people want to know from you, what makes a person feel loved in a relationship?
What makes a person feel loved? First off, I think you have to have a relationship that has similar belief systems. You know, and you have to have trust. You have to have respect. You have to have intimacy. If there's not intimacy in a relationship, even just snuggling on the couch, having your intimate needs met, having the other person's intimate needs met, if that's not there, then there's going to be a lot of friction. And oftentimes when you look at broken relationships, they stray because what's happening at home, they are not getting what they need in the relationship over here. And I'm not saying it's right, because it's not, but it's the truth. So you need to understand your mate. You need to understand what it is they need. And there's a thing called the five love languages. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I haven't. No, but now I do want to ask you, before we go, what are,
so like ways- I say in the five love languages, and and if you want to know more about that, because, you know, some people like when you tell them, hey, I appreciate you. Some people like when you tell them, hey, I appreciate you. Other people like when you give them little gifts. Some people like when you help them at the house.
Exactly. Before we go, what are at least three communication tips, three ways to resolve relationship conflicts, without doing it in a toxic way? So how do you resolve relationship conflicts without it being, you know, dissolving into a domestic violence incident or something like that? I put the question in the chat just in case you couldn't hear me.
Okay. What are at least three ways in which you can resolve a relationship conflict? Okay. Great question. First and foremost, there is, if things get heated too much, or if you think you're going to lose your temper, or that your partner is going to lose your temper, walk away. Just like, and walk away. Because when you put space between you two, then you can't have that fight. Let you guys cool down and then come back together. If you can't walk away and something happens where they just won't let you go, or they just keep at it and keep at it, to prevent a domestic situation, get the police involved. Don't try to be a hero. Go out there and get the police involved in that. You can also, when they're like in it, you know, they're trying to have you understand what their need. Repeat it back to them. Just go, okay, this is what I'm hearing you say. So what I'm hearing you say is that you feel like you aren't getting shown the respect or the intimacy that you want. Mm-hmm. And then say, is that correct? And if they say, yes, that is correct. Okay, well, please tell me how I can help you feel more loved. How can I help you feel more wanted? Mm. Like, come at it, you know, repeat to them what they're saying to you. And then ask them, what is it that's going to make this a better situation?
Mm, awesome.
So that is a good one. Listen, you have to communicate in a relationship.
Right. Well, we only have a few minutes left. So tell everybody the title of the book, how they can purchase it, and what are the names of your other works? Can you hear me? I put the question in the chat just in case you couldn't hear me.
So you're breaking up again. I can't hear you like a robot. Sorry.
It's okay. I put the question in the chat just in case you couldn't hear me. So,
but to answer your question that you have here on the screen is how does the audience purchase the book, mm-hmm. and what are my other books?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The audience can purchase the Love Manifesto anthology. They can go to Amazon and just type in the Love Manifesto anthology, or they can either put your name in there or my name, and it will pull it up.
Awesome. And how do our listeners follow
and
you?
And then I have a book that I wrote to help victims of abuse, you know, map out the plan to get out. And that is called When Happily Ever After Doesn't Happen, How to Escape Domestic Abuse. And that, too, is on Amazon. You can just type that in. That's an ebook. And the other book I'm in is more geared towards the United Kingdom. Mm. It's hard to get that because it's pounds versus dollars. Mm. And how could your listeners follow me? Yeah, sure. I'm on Instagram under Gina D. Lusardi, and I am also on YouTube, and that one's just, you know, Adventures with Dan and Gina. But you can also contact me if you would like to know more or get more information, or, you know, find out more about intimate partner relationships. You can email me at Gina Lusardi, @gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, and for being patient with us through all these technical difficulties. Unfortunately.
Oh, no problem. Technical difficulties happen. It's just life. But thank you so much for allowing me to be here, and I'm excited to hear what the other authors have to say.
Awesome. Me too. Thank you so much. Thank you. Unfortunately, that's my time. I hope and pray you guys were blessed, even though the enemy tried his best not to make this interview happen, but God always makes a way, and we thank him for that. It's time for the Teens Talk Truth radio show, hosted by my favorite young man on the planet, AJ and Alex Taylor. So I'm going to get out of the way so that they can regale you with whatever their topic is going to be this week. You guys have a blessed and safe week. Enjoy your weekend, and I will see you next Saturday right here on Studio W Buzz, not to mention the DFW Den radio station and Victory KVDW
100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM here in Little Rock. And don't forget, we are now on Spotify and iTunes. So you guys have no reason to miss the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. God bless you. Have a good one, everybody.
Have a good day. And tomorrow on the Boomerang radio show, we're doing part two of domestic violence. So it's ironic that your guest covered that today. And so we're looking forward to it. It's part two with yours truly, Ann Wooten Taylor, Dr. Rudolph Demery. Hopefully Dr. Sims is feeling better. She'll be there. And our special guest host, Mr. Mike Ward. So anyways, stay tuned, folks, to your WBuzz.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let's do this. All right. I'll get some volume. In a second, we'll be right back, folks. Keep it locked.